Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. My beloved, today the Church is celebrating the day of the royal new martyrs of the Tsar Emperor Nicholas II and his wife, the Empress Alexandra, and the children, Olga, Tatiana, Maria, Anastasia, and Tsarevich Alexei. It is our church. We have the, in the name of the Tsarevich Alexei, new royal martyr. And then people say, why do we call them martyrs? Well, let me go to the gospel reading of today. The gospel reading of today says the Lord said that you're not of this world, and because you're not of this world, the world will hate you. The world will hate you as they hated me, because he was not of the world, because he came from another world, eternal life, eternal world. And the emperor and his royal family was the same way. They did not come from this world. They didn't have the ideology of this world. But they were living according to the new world that is going to come, the eternal world. They have actually lived according to the gospel. Even though that the emperor had such a big power in the nation, and yet he lived according to a pious person. When he would go out in the streets, he would always put on just a soldier's uniform. He would never take an escort. He would walk around the people, and he would be like that. When he had looked at the church situation, and he saw that there were some saints that were not glorified yet, for instance, even Saint Seraphim Sarovsky and Yesav Bilgorodsky and so on, he had pushed for the glorification of these saints, and he was personally involved in it. He was also given a letter from the emperor, in the time of the Emperor Paul the First, and the letter was also from Saint Seraphim, that when he would become the ruler of Russia, then a great terrible things is going to happen. And he was foretold all about things when he was when he was made the emperor. Then he was given that letter, and his face was all become white of seeing what was foretold to him. But he remembered all that, and he accepted it, as a cross that God wanted him to bear. And he knew what's going to happen in the future. He knew that the terrible thing is going to happen to Russia, because the Russia has started to kind of be enticed with the Western world, with the material world, and they started to lose sight of the prayers, and the church going started to become already just like a habit or a tradition, but the heart wasn't in there. The heart wasn't in there in the church, and the people started to go less and less to Holy Communion, and they started to worry more and more about their temporary existence and about how to make their life as good as it is in the Western world. And my beloved, the Saint Nicholas and the emperor knew that and saw that, and he had also foreseen that there will be a big exodus from Russian people and that they would be going outside of Russia. And he had prepared for them churches. He had built churches all over the world. And I lived for a while in America, and I know several churches that were built by his money, by the funds that was given by him. He was giving away all his salary to the poor people, to building a churches, to building the hospitals, to building schools and all those things. He was always involved in charity. And of course the Empress, the same thing, and all the princesses, and they have, especially when there was the World War One had become, and they have all become sisters, and they would be taking care of the wounded people, all the soldiers, and they would spend their time, most of their time, they would be taking care of the wounded people, and they were loved so much because they showed the Christian love. They, first of all, of course, their family was an example, a beautiful example of Christian life for families. They had love between each other. They have loved each other so much that if one would be suffering, they all would suffer. If one would be rejoicing, they all would be rejoicing. And they had, of course, when the next heir was born, Saint, the new royal martyr, Alexei, and whose church we have in the memory of over here. And when Saint Alexei was born, they found out very soon that he had hemophilia, which is a terrible disease that the blood would not curdle up. That if you have a wound someplace, it would be bleeding and nothing can stop the bleeding. And he had that kind of a sickness. If he would be as a child, would hit against something, then he would start the internal bleeding, and it would be so painful to him, and he would be had to be bedridden. And what did he do at that time? Did he grumble? Did he feel bad about it? No. He was saying, as a monk, he was saying in Jesus' prayer, he was saying prayers, and when his children, his sisters would come around to comfort him, they saw that he was still in his heart, he was peaceful and he was bright, and they would come to console him, and he would console them because they saw that he has accepted the cross that the Lord had given. And this was a true Orthodox Christians. And of course, and he had a dream that if he would ever become a emperor, he would make sure that all his people would be happy. And of course, he meant the happiness of knowing the Lord, because that's what his own happiness came from knowing the Lord, remembering the suffering of the Lord, and accepting that any cross that the Lord would send him, even with the sicknesses and all the troubles. And of course, when he would become well and he would be allowed to get off from his bed, he would behave just like any normal child without ever thinking of the dangers that he would have, in hurting himself and so on. And he brought joy to the family, and all these, his sisters, the princesses, they loved him. And of course, the mother had loved him, and she stayed by the bedside every time that he would become sin, and the emperor himself. And they would have the main conversations and the main treat that they would have when the family get together with Lives of Saints, to read aloud Lives of Saints, or talk about it and about the Kingdom of Heaven and about the true Orthodoxy. Don't forget that the Empress, she was a Lutheran first, and then she converted, but she converted with their whole heart, she converted, become a true Orthodox Christian, and she had adopted all the Russian people as her own people, and she really prayed for everybody, and her heart went out again to the point that when the Russia was in the war to protect the Orthodox country that was attacked, and she was there among with her daughters to and the other members of the royal family to give the treatment and take care of the wounded soldiers, because they truly had the love for the Lord. They had love for the Lord, and because of that, they had love for each other. And now, when I think about it, or you, if you would think about it, why would he be called a martyr, or even great martyr, the emperor, or the empress, or the children, and especially the Saint Alexei? Well, I'll tell you why. Just imagine that if you are a father, or if you're a mother, or if you're a priest, or if you're a bishop, and you see that your children, spiritual children or regular children, are fighting amongst each other, and they're hurting each other and killing each other, how would your heart feel? What kind of torture you would go through? I know for a fact, as being a father and being a priest, I know when the parishioners are having outs one against another, and when they can't stand one each other, it hurts me so deeply. And if I see it in my sons that they can't tolerate each other, or that they hold a grudge against each other, it hurts me so much. Well, then we can recognize, we can start to feel what the Lord had felt himself when he was crucified, when they were crucifying him, and then when he was on the cross, and how he saw that the people did not accept him, and they did not accept him, that they crucified him, they hated him, because he spoke the truth to them. And what happened? What happened? Did he turn against him? No, he was suffering so much. He was suffering so much for my sins and for your sins and for the sins of all the people that were before him and all the people that were going to come after, until the time that he would come for the second time. He suffered for the sins of everybody, and my beloved. And this is the kind of love, and this is the kind of suffering that Nicholas the emperor had to endure. He truly had to endure that kind of a terrible suffering of seeing the people tearing at each other's necks and killing each other and attacking and destroying the churches and killing the priests and losing sight of the Lord altogether. There is no greater torture. You can be quartered. You can be stripped from your skin and do all the things that were done in the first centuries to the Christians, and all those sufferings, they're the sufferings of the body. But Saint Nicholas, the emperor, and his family, they went through the suffering and agony of the heart. And I can assure you that if you ever had an occasion to suffer for your loved ones when you see that they're going in the wrong way, that you would understand what kind of a suffering the emperor went through. When he was put in exile, or they put him into Yekaterinburg and into the house of the Pachevsky person, they had soldiers there that would be mocking them, and they would be making fun of them and all kinds of, and trying to mistreat them and torture them. And what happened is that they conquered them with the love, because they conquered with their love. And very shortly, these soldiers, they couldn't be gruff with them. They couldn't be giving them a hard time. They would become friends of them. And so the authority, the pagan or the God-fighting authorities, they would then immediately take them out and send a new bunch, more cruel people. And it would happen several several times it would happen like that, that with their loving them, regardless of how they treated them, by showing them the love, they conquered them, and they made them to stop becoming so evil. So because they knew the gospel, because they lived according to gospel. They lived according to the gospel, and they loved their enemies, and they tried to convert them all to recognize the Lord, and to recognize that this life is only temporary, and that there is a real life which is going to be eternal. And this is the one that we have to strive for and look for. My beloved, the royal family truly deserves not to be just called martyrs, but they are great martyrs because of the suffering that they had to endure. They were brought newspapers and magazines of all what was happening in their country, how the brothers were going against brothers, how terrible crimes were done, and all the fighting that was done, and all the terrors that were going through at that time, over the time of the revolution. And all those things, they were exposed to on purpose to torture them. And they were tortured, they truly were tortured. And so that's why we can truly call them even great martyrs. When they had the love of Christ in their heart, and of course they understood Christ, they understood how he suffered, and they want us to understand that, how the Lord suffered and what he went through for our salvation, and what we should go through to receive that salvation. And what happened is, my beloved, they truly, the emperor and his whole family, they truly brought in by example of their own tortures and their own life, they brought in literally millions of people that went after them. They recognized that they were wrong in going after the material, after the temporary things, and they continued to they came back to the Lord, and they were all tortured in concentration camps and all kinds of jails and crazy houses and every place else. And they were killed. They, like I say, literally millions of the Russian people had suffered through the God fighting regime of the communist regime. And they followed after their Tsar, and of course that brought joy to the Tsar, knowing that they all, because they accepted that cross and the narrow thorny way to the kingdom of heaven, they were able to come to the kingdom of heaven and are rejoicing now with them in the kingdom of heaven. And they're all praying for us that we would become serious about our salvation, and that we would start looking for the kingdom of heaven, and pay little attention or much less attention to this world and to what is happening in the world. In the meantime, of course, a great suffering comes for our royal family now, even in heaven, when they see what is happening in Russia, what is happening in the part of Russia that now separated itself, is called Ukraine, how the people are being killed, and our revolution is being brought back again of what it was in the 1718, the year of 1718, of the time of the revolution, how people are being killed and being tortured, and all kinds of terrible things are being happening in the cradle of old Russia, in Kiev and around in Kharkiv and all the places in Ukraine. And how and the royal family, because they love their people, because they were like their family, and they loved them so much, and they, how much they are now going through suffering and pleading and asking God to bring them about to the truth and to stop catering to the demons that are causing all the troubles that they have over there, and that to bring back again the monarchy that could unite all the people, and to show them how to live and according to the Orthodox teachings, according to the Christian life, according to the gospel. And this is what the main concern should be for us. And we have to pray our heart out to help these people that are suffering right now and going through all the terrible things that is happening in the Ukrainian region and other places. We pray that the royal family will continue to pray for us, and that will lead us all into the beautiful haven that is the kingdom of heaven, and to be able to love our Lord with all mind, heart, and soul, and to love each other, and thus to fulfill the law of God. Amen.